Hey there, thanks for listening. I am Wouter Vertogen and this is the Freelancer Talk, a show where freelancers, artists, creators and entrepreneurs share their stories, struggles and best lessons learned while launching and managing their own businesses. Hello, all you freelancers. Welcome back to the Freelancer Talk podcast. I am your host, Wouter Vertogen. And over the past few months, I have been dropping a lot of podcasts on all kinds of aspects of a freelancer and what you are as a freelancer and what you need to do as a freelancer and how to be a freelancer. But I've never really done a podcast how to become a freelancer, how you go from being not a freelancer to being a freelancer. So today I am going to be talking about going to become a freelancer together with Alistair from my freelance success. I don't know how to really say it again. Freelance success, right?
Yeah, freelance success. But well, the Instagram is my freelance success.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that's why I mixed it up. Yes, but thank you so much for taking the time and making the time available to be on the podcast. You are a business consultant and you are a freelancer for a very long time. And I'm curious, when did you become a freelancer and why did you become a freelancer?
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's really great to be here. So I became a freelancer, it was about 10 years ago. I went straight into freelancing after I'd finished my university degree. I studied journalism at the time, but my girlfriend back then, she was a Spanish teacher. And she wanted to live in Spain. And I thought that sounded good. You know, it's a lot sunnier in Spain than it is in the UK. Yeah. So I thought, yeah, how do I make that happen? Because I don't speak a word of Spanish. So the best way to do that seemed to be for me to use my writing and go freelance. So I set up as freelance. And that way I could work with clients in the UK. And yeah, it worked well. I could work out there and live out there for a year and a half and earn enough money while being freelance.
And since then you have never returned to being a, let's say, a normal employed worker. You've always been freelancing.
So I did that for about 5 years and then I actually got a job in a marketing team. I worked for Visit Nottingham, so I followed the travel theme again. I worked with, it's the tourist board for Nottingham.
Okay.
So there was a lot in the UK, that is. So there was a lot of working with Robin Hood, that kind of thing there.
Yeah.
So I worked there and I still did some freelancing on the side, which is something I think more people are doing as well. Even if they have normal jobs, they're starting to realize they can make a little extra money in the evenings or at weekends.
Yeah.
So I did that for a couple of years and then I did some consulting. I got offered a consulting contract, which was about a year long at the University of Oxford.
Yeah.
So at that point, I quit that job and I was back into freelancing and I had the bug again, you know, so I've been freelance ever since then.
And then you now recently started your freelance success training platform, which is also how I got to know you, how I found you online, as your Instagram was my freelance success. And I was like reading all your blog posts and really thinking like, wow, this is an incredible platform. But why did you create this platform? What was the urge behind it?
Yes, I think, as you said, there's a lot of resources out there for people who are already freelance and who have been freelancing for a long time. But there's not really anything to help you if you're coming in new to it, if you're thinking about maybe making that leap. And it's a big life change to become freelance, you know. I'm sure,
yeah,
you know, being freelance, it takes over your life. It's personal, you know, it's, you want to put everything into it. But so that was the idea behind it, really, to offer some guidance and help and some of my experience and experience that I've encountered over the 10 years I've been doing freelancing, because I mean, I've made plenty of mistakes along the way. So if I can help if I can help a few people avoid making those mistakes and setting up their business with a strong, solid foundation so they can go forward with confidence and live the lifestyle they want to live, then that's great. So that's the idea behind it, really.
So yeah, I think for everybody, if you guys are interested into Alistair's freelance success platform, then you will find the link down below in the show notes. And I was also wondering, No, I was not wondering. I actually stumbled upon your checklist of 11 steps to become a freelancer. But before I actually went to that, I saw that you posted a, well, inside that checklist, you wrote like, this is the time to go freelance and the freelance is the future. I just was wondering if you could enlighten me a little bit on that or enrich me a little bit in that way of thinking, why you think it is the perfect time right now to go freelance.
Yeah, of course. So that checklist that you mentioned, that was the start of freelance success, really. I sort of woke up one morning and wrote it out of the blue with no warning, because it was, I mean, last summer it was the first COVID lockdown in the UK. So
yeah,
I was everywhere you looked, people were at home, they were trapped inside, they were on furlough. There was a lot of people, they didn't know if they'd have a job to go back to. I mean, we're still in that situation really, aren't we? But
yeah,
you could also see that things were changing around us. I mean, everyone was getting used to remote working and the technological things that maybe freelancers are more used to. So, I mean, we're used to using Zoom and talking over the internet and using marketing software, that kind of thing. But now everyone's having to do that. And I mean, if you'd said to me that my gran would be using Zoom in 2020, I'd have laughed at you, you know, but she's on Zoom and WhatsApp and everything now. So I think the technological changes were already happening, but COVID and the effects of that have really fast forwarded that situation, you know.
Yeah.
And but a lot of people, it's a very uncertain time for a lot of people, especially people in more traditional jobs. And I think they have a lack of control. They feel like they have a lack of control over their own lives, because there's this huge virus and all these economic warnings that are really affecting a lot of people. And one of the big things about freelancing for me is that it gives you control over your own life, you know. I mean, there's nobody else to blame apart from you, you know. You have to, it's on your shoulders. Yeah,
it's also a lot of pressure, but it is all on you, so
yeah,
you are the responsible one. Yeah
And that's part of the thrill of it, isn't it? It's personal and it's down to you, you know? So I wrote the checklist to see how I could help some more people try and get that control and enjoy going freelance. And I, you know, people talk about these opportunities that they wish they'd taken, like investing in Tesla stocks or Apple or Bitcoin or whatever it is. I think this is one, really, because the technological changes of all this software that can help you with freelancing and the video technology and being able to work remotely, that was already happening before COVID.
Yeah.
And I think people will look back in 5 or 10 years and see that this was a big opportunity, that we're in one of those moments now. I mean, obviously COVID's terrible what it's happened, but the change on society and the way people do business and work is huge.
I agree with you. Yeah. Mm. I think also what you said is that the technological developments are making it also just easier and more accessible for people to become freelancers, because there is, you know, like automated management tools or automated bookkeeping software. So it doesn't even need to be so hard anymore. I think there is just a lot of different tools out there that you can get to make your life also easier, that, you know, to set yourself up for.
Yeah. And I think it's happening so fast as well. It's the changes. I mean, the bookkeeping, like you say, it's because as a freelancer, you have to do so many different things, don't you? And there's only one of you.
Yeah.
Even 10 years ago, some of the software, like the email marketing that you can set up to send specific emails to different people who display different behaviors. And so, yeah, there's really huge potential, and it's improving every year. New software comes out that makes life easier.
Yeah. So I created this podcast in a very early beginning stage for freelance artists and freelance dancers and actors and singers, because many of us working in the arts, let's say, they become very quickly a freelancer because there is only so many places in real companies, let's say. But I feel like my thing was always that I was like, yeah, we are not educated enough on these topics, as how to do your own marketing or how to do your own bookkeeping and all that kind of stuff. But also very often, a lot of schools and educations, they don't really offer this checklist that you are actually offering right now. If I had this checklist 4 or 5 years ago, I'd have been like, oh, wow, that would have saved a lot of time. And I think that's why this is going to be very interesting to I think we're going to just talk about your checklist, what you made, and just to talk a little bit about like from each step. I think if you guys want to download the checklist, you'll find the link down below in the show notes, because you can just go to his website and then download it and read it for yourself. Because when I read it, I was like, oh, yeah. When I was 5 years ago, I didn't follow these steps in this order. It was a bit like all over the place.
Yeah, so, that's good to hear, because that was the aim, really, just to try and make it as simple as possible. And there's some very boring steps in there, but it's things that you have to do. And
it
doesn't take long to do. It's not that intimidating, is it, when you look at it in a list form?
Yeah.
So yeah,
but
getting started is the hardest thing.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also when you do follow these steps, then you also have a more structured way of perceiving your own freelance business, because you do go through these various stages of like, okay, this is the tax thing. Okay, this is the financial part. This is this part. This is that part. So then you are ready to go and get your first job, hopefully, get your first gig, you know? So what would the first step be for being, you know, like when you want to become a freelancer, what is the first thing that you should be doing?
Mm-hmm. So this is how I see it. I mean, obviously other people will do it in a different way, but I think the first thing you really need to think about is how you want to be set up. So different countries have different structures for this as well, of course, but yeah. In the UK, for example, you can choose to be a sole trader, which is what I think most creative freelancers and the people that we're probably talking to on your podcast will go for.
Yeah.
Because you don't have to set up a company, a physical company. You can just be yourself. You are the business, and that's the easiest way to get set up for many people. And
yeah,
it's not expensive. It's easy to do. You just click a link on the website and yeah, you can get set up. So I think that's the first step, really. And then I'd go on to say you want to think about your name and how you want to present yourself, because a lot of freelancers spend a lot of time thinking, well, be caught. What should I set my name up as? They want to try and represent themselves as a big company almost, which I'm not sure is the best approach for most freelancers, because the thing about being freelance is you are what sets your business apart from the competition. So generally, I'd just say use your own name.
Yeah.
Sorry, go on.
No, I was going to ask you, so what would you say? Just take your own name, or yeah, pretend you're a big company that you're not.
I think if you're struggling with the decision, if you're not drawn to a name for a particular reason, then I'd just fall back onto using your own name for that reason, really, because you are your business and people want to do business with you. So they'll associate the business with you.
Yeah.
And also you don't want to mislead a potential client to thinking that you are bigger than you are.
Just
so
a soul.
You don't want them to think they're working with a company. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
And there's a lot of value in working with a freelancer. So, because obviously you get a more personal service and you'll be the number one priority. The client won't have to work with a big team, whereas they might if they're working with an agency, for example. So it's a benefit that you're a freelancer and they'll be working directly with you. So I think your name is a good way to show that.
Yeah, I think a name is also this, you know, your name is you and you are your own business. You are your own brand. So why not hook your name up to that? It's what it is, I think, not polish it like it is not something else, you know? And then after, I saw on your list you had tax registration, which is something
that's getting into the more getting into the more painful parts now.
Yeah.
But no, again, this doesn't have to be too complicated, I don't think. I mean, again, I can only talk for the UK really with this, but you just need to register with the tax authority that you're going to be freelance and that you're going to fill in an assessment at the end of the year. It's coming up to that time for us in the UK. What you may want to think about a little bit more is whether you want to use an accountant, because obviously as a freelancer, you need to track what's coming into your business and what's coming out of your business.
Yeah.
It depends on the individual for this, but I think generally if you can afford to use an accountant for the first year, I would try and do it just because they can set you up with a good system.
Yeah.
So if you're serious about being freelance in the long term, that can be really helpful because it teaches you good habits from the start. But equally, you can do it without an accountant. And again, we've been talking about software, and there's a lot of really great software that you can use to keep you on track. Yeah. So it's not an essential to use an accountant. And also some accountants will offer a service where they'll just, you do all the work, but they'll check your tax form at the end of the year. And that's usually quite affordable. So
yeah, that's for, too. that's, for example, what I have is that I did do a lot of research in, you know, like how to invoice and how, you know, how to save all these things. So then I did it myself my first year, and then I just had somebody check it and then actually do my taxes at the end of the, if you know, like when you do your yearly income tax, that's when he stepped in, let's say. But throughout the year, I managed it myself, which was, there were some mistakes, which happens. But then he was like, you're fine. It happens to everybody. But that's why I think, you know, if you have like an automated invoice software or program, and where you can put in your receipts and that they calculate the tax for you. Cause I think a lot of people even are just like, they see numbers and they get so stressed out. But if you have a program like that, it works out better. But yeah, the accountant is a good thing. Always so that you're 100% sure that you are in the right. Also, I think.
Yeah, I think it's really helpful, especially because, like you say, a lot of freelancers, I'm the same. When I look at the numbers, I start to panic, you know?
it's just
helpful to have someone else cast an eye over it and tell you that you've not done anything that's going to put you in prison or anything like that.
Yeah, no, exactly.
And, even the tax authority, if you give them a call, they're usually actually very helpful. So it's nothing to be afraid of. I wouldn't let it hold you back.
Yeah, I was wondering, because you in your first step, you said, how do you want to set yourself up? And you have to register yourself as a business. Doesn't that come, for example, here in the Netherlands, it works that you go to the place where you register your business, so your freelance business, but then you get automatically a tax registration form on top of that as well. So it's for freelancers here in the Netherlands that these steps kind of come together almost. But in the UK, it's a different system, I think. Yeah,
well, if you want to set up as a company, you'd have to do it slightly different. But if you wanted to set up as a sole trader, like we were discussing, then you do it at the same time, and you get your tax number then.
Okay, yeah, okay, so it kind of works the same. Yeah, okay, cool.
Yeah, it's similar.
You registered yourself, you have your company, you know your name, which is your own name, you got yourself an accountant. What's next?
So next, this is a bit more fun. It's deciding where you're going to work from. So, I mean, your options are a bit more limited at the moment, obviously, because of the situation. But I put some thought into where you're going to do the most of your work.
Yeah.
So for most people at the moment, it's going to be from home. But obviously, you need to, if you live with other people, then it's worth communicating with those people about your plans and how you're going to be working. Because, I mean, if you have kids, for example, it can be a nightmare trying to work at home. So you need to maybe work with your partner and your kids to say, when I'm in this office, then I'm at work, you know?
Yeah.
But generally, hopefully when things calm down a little bit, part of the fun of being freelance is you can work from cafes, you can work from co-working spaces, which is always great. And the one thing I would say is just a lot of people feel like they have to go out and get an office to feel like a proper business. And they feel like they have to sign up to a 12-month lease on an office space.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that's missing the point of being freelance a little bit, because it's the flexibility to, you can go to cafes, you can go to co-working, you can go to shared offices. So I wouldn't tie yourself into an office straight away.
Yeah. So it's funny for me because, for example, I'm a freelance dancer, which is completely something different than what you're doing. Yeah. So when I would think of like, oh yeah, where would I be working? I would be working in the studios that I get the jobs, for example. But what I always was thinking as well is that I was forgetting in the beginning is, yeah, you need to do your taxes. Yeah, you need to create your content and your site and all of that kind of stuff. So I did create my own workspace in my house where I was always like, okay, then I do this side of my freelance business. I take care of all of that and I just have my own office, let's say, or I actually did do it in co-working offices, which I always find very I enjoy it a lot because you just network a bit. But it's fun because as a dancer, you just get hired somewhere and then, yeah, you just got to go to that country and you just are in that studio and in that hotel, let's say, almost. But but I think that's also, it belongs even to what you said, like you have to think, you have to take that in account, I guess.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it depends what freelance work you're doing. Like you say, for you, the decision's made, really, isn't it? You go to where the work is. But for people who work on their laptops or whatever, it's worth thinking about at the start. And because especially if you do work from home, and especially at the moment when you can't really go out very much at all,
yeah,
it can help to kind of mentally separate your work life from your from your relaxing times. Because if you just leave your laptop on the kitchen table, for example, you can be constantly checking your emails on a Friday night, you know. So it just helps to put some separation in there.
Yeah, to take, you know, to leave it when it must be left. Like, okay, now I have my evening time. Now I do my own things. Like, I'm not going to open my computer. I think right now I have that problem that I just open my phone and my email just constantly, and there is no separation from when I'm not doing something that's related to the Freelancer Talk or when I'm just doing live. I don't know. It's like a bit of a mush at the moment.
Yes, but, it's a strange time for that. Everything's merging together.
Yeah, it's like all these lockdowns and curfews. I don't know anymore. It's like a bit too much. But you're next thing was create branding on your list. And that's something that I've been talking about a lot here on the Freelancer Talk with a lot of people, especially regarding social media. And I think that's such an important step to do create your branding. But I think, what do you think? If you start freelancing, do you need to get your brand ready right at the start, or do you give it some time and some development?
Again, I'd say it depends on your specific circumstances. So, for example, if you have clients lined up already, maybe you're going freelance for that reason because somebody wants to work with you.
Yeah.
Then you probably don't need to worry about it so much straight away.
Yeah.
But if you're just going freelance and then you need to find work, then I think it is a priority to get your branding sorted early on and to maybe even invest some money in it. Or if you don't have any money to invest in it, you could get
do it yourself.
Somebody who does branding, yeah, do it yourself, or get somebody, yeah, swap your skills with somebody.
Yes,
yeah. I think, yeah, and you can do it yourself these days easier than before. I mean, there's a lot of free design software, isn't there? But if you can, I'd encourage you to get a professional to do it, just because it's important, because that's what people associate with your brand. And obviously, like you say, it will go down through your social media. It'll be your website. It'll be your email signature. So that's why I think it's really important. And just being consistent as a freelancer. So branding helps you be consistent and get a consistent message across to the people you want to work with. So that's why I think that's why I put it on this list for something you should think about early on.
I think you're 100% right to put that on the list, because I think also branding just also gives you a little sense of like, okay, that's what I send out to people, send out into the universe. This is my energy that I represent, or this is the statements that I represent or beliefs. I don't know, whatever belongs to your branding. But then very often you have people, they communicate one way on Facebook and one way on Instagram, and it's like doesn't match. And then you're like, oh, okay. That's because then also people get, you know, they don't understand you. So I do think it's important to have a little bit of that branding aspect into it as well.
Yeah, I think again it helps, because so much of freelancing you're in your own head, because it's just you working, and it helps you feel as like you're a real business. Because a lot of people get freelancing, they do a couple of jobs for friends maybe, and then they get a bit of money, and it's kind of a slow transition, and they still feel like it's not real, like it's like they're cheating, it's not a real business. Whereas if you get your branding sorted and it looks professional, then you start to view yourself as a proper business as well. So one thing I sometimes say is, because I did this as well, if you get some, you can get your branding printed on t-shirts and things, on a hoodie, for example.
Yeah.
And you can Google it, and it's quite cheap to do. And it sounds a bit silly, but it helps you just view your business as a real thing. And equally, if you're wearing it, a lot of freelancers are a little reluctant to talk about their business at first. They're a bit embarrassed about it. So, but if you turn up to a friend's house with your hoodie on that has your business name across the front, then you're going to have to talk about it, you know.
That'd be fun.
No hiding from it.
Yeah. Oh, that would be really fun. It's like, okay, yeah, just create your own shirt and then you just go. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're a little reluctant to talk about your business, it's a good way to make sure you have to put yourself out there.
Yeah. And also in a fun way, make it fun. Make it for yourself fun to talk about your own business. You know, like don't hide it. You did it for a reason. I know, you know, some people do it for reasons because they get fired from jobs, but then they start something on themselves anyway, you made the decision to start your own company. So let's get it out there, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Branding helps.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's another step on the checklist. It's probably the final step is to get yourself out there. So because obviously as a freelancer, it's up to you to do everything. So you need to put yourself out there and you know, spread the word about what you do and how you can help people. Yeah.
Network, build your community, build your network, talk to people. Yeah, yeah, we did skip a few steps, I think. I do have your list down here below, so then I can really, because otherwise, you know, otherwise I keep losing it. But yeah, get yourself out there was your last step on the checklist. And prior to that, a couple of steps before, you have one step that, actually two steps that I think a lot of freelancers forget when they are starting their business. Number one is get an insurance or get insurance and the ones you need, because there's a lot of different insurances out there. And then the other thing is start thinking about your pension. And this is the thing that so many people who I know who are freelancers for 5 years or 6 years, and they're like, I have never put any pension apart or never, you know, applied for a pension or anything. Yeah. So I think it's really good that you put these on there because people forget. What types of insurances do you need?
So it depends on the business that you are. I would stress I'm not an expert at this, but most freelancers, I think you need professional indemnity insurance, which basically covers you if things go wrong with your client work, for example. So if you're a graphic designer and you create a magazine, for example, for a company, and then there's an error with the printing. So that could be, they could print 100,000 copies of that magazine and then there's an error in there. So if that company then wants to blame you and you don't have insurance, you could find yourself in a difficult situation because you might need some legal help, or you might, because as a sole trader, you are your business, then you can end up being personally responsible for these things financially.
Yeah.
So having the insurance just gives you that peace of mind. You'll probably never have to use it, but it's just in that situation where you do need to use it, you'll be grateful you have it. And I've only claimed once, and that was for a new laptop when mine broke all of a sudden when I was traveling and I couldn't do the work without a laptop, so I had to go and buy a new one.
Yeah.
But again, even then it was really helpful to have. And the other kind of insurance is if you're working in public a lot. So if you're painting murals, if you're an artist, for example, and there's a danger you might hurt somebody in public or some kind of accident involving public, I think you needed insurance for that as well.
Yeah. I think what I've heard, I talked to another guest, his name was Bilal, on the show, and he was part of a union for artists and freelance artists. And he was also saying that it's good to also get an insurance for, you know, when you get sick yourself or when you are yourself unable to work, because that also happens. Because actually, we only get money when you do your job. If you cannot do your job, you cannot invoice nobody because they will not pay. So it's good to, but those insurances are very expensive here in the Netherlands. And I think a lot of us are like, okay, I might not do this, but I do think it's a good thing to look into that.
Yeah, you need to have some kind of a plan B, I think. So, I mean, if you've got some savings, that can help. But I think, yeah, it's definitely worth looking into insurance. And the more basic ones are cheaper, obviously. But yeah, it's worth having a look into. And it doesn't need to be too expensive, some of them. I mean, maybe it is in the Netherlands.
Yeah, I mean, I think that one. But not all insurances are expensive. So it's all right. I think it's doable. It also, of course, depends how much revenue you're making as a freelancer. You know, if you are earning a lot, then this might not be so expensive. If you don't earn a lot, this might be expensive. I think it's in retrospect of that. Pension. I think this is something that nobody wants to talk about and everybody wants to forget about. But as a freelancer, you have to fix your pension, guys. How did you do it? And when did you start actually thinking about pension? Was it already early on, or did that came after a couple of years?
I mean, it's the last thing on your mind when you're starting a business and trying to get up and running, isn't it? It's the last thing you want to think about.
Yeah.
And I think even the statistics now say it's only about 30% of freelancers and self-employed people are paying into a pension of any kind.
Crazy.
Yeah, but it's scary to think about what the future, because the people are going to have to work for until they're 70 or however long, you know, people are living longer. But again, I think this is an area that I wouldn't actually say you need to do this immediately. I think I put it in the checklist because it's important to think about and consider at this point. I'd maybe put a date 6 months later in your diary to say, okay, now I'm going to sort my pension out. So yeah, that gives you some breathing room to work and get yourself set up and make sure freelancing is for you and get comfortable.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely try and get it sorted out. And I'm not saying I did this, of course. I mean, I said I made plenty of mistakes when I started up. So I only started my pension recently. And again, this is something that I think technology is making a bit more easy. So I used something in the UK called PensionBee. It's kind of an app-based service, and they take... So I had a small pension from that job I mentioned where I worked full-time.
Yeah.
And they take that pension and they merge it with what I have now, where I can just set a monthly amount to pay in. But yeah, it's worth doing your own research. Again, I'm not an expert in the specific pension you should get. But the key thing to remember with pensions is that the government will usually top it up with some money. So that's essentially free money, even though you're not getting it now, you'll get it later. And also, as well as that, there's the fact that the earlier you start, the more benefits. I mean, I don't like numbers, I don't like figures, but there's something called compounding interest, apparently. And
yeah,
that's basically, yeah, the amount of interest. So the earlier you start with a pension makes a massive difference. So even if you're not putting a lot in at this point, it's definitely helpful to get it set up and start contributing as early as you can.
Yeah, I think for my experience speaking is that I also didn't understand that, you know, when you are invoicing your projects and other people and companies for your work, actually within that invoice, within that number, you should take out your taxes, you have your social securities and your insurances that you have to pay from it, you have your pension that you have to pay from it. All of this is being done if you work a fixed job somewhere, you know, like if you work on a contract somewhere, they do it automatically for you. But as a freelancer, you have to do that. And I think if you from the beginning already start to understand what you're worth, like what the number you are charging includes, I think it might be easier to start thinking about a pension earlier on. And I think that's where it goes wrong with a lot of freelancers, because in the beginning, they're like really busy with just setting their business up and then kind of like breaking even or just having enough profit to go through life. But yeah, that profit is also already pension and all of that kind of stuff. But it's good that it's in the checklist as a reminder of, yes, you're going to have to organize that.
Yeah, it's just get it in your mind now. You don't have to do it today, but at some point soon, yeah. And the earlier you do it, the better. But yeah, I mean, there's so many things that when we're pricing our services, you sort of look at your rent and you look at what you like to spend money on. And it's very easy to underestimate how much you should charge, because you miss out a lot of things like pension that, you know, like you say, an employer would pay, and insurance and equipment costs, you know, with subscriptions to things. So there's and holidays, like you were talking about earlier, like just because you're a freelancer doesn't mean you shouldn't get holiday breaks,
yeah,
you know? So you need to factor things like that into your pricing as well.
Yeah, your 13th month, your extra holiday pay, your 5% bonus. I don't know, yeah. Everything. You should think about everything. Do it for yourself. Make your life easier at the end of the day. But at the end of the day... Anyway, I think at the end of the day, when you do your pricing and you calculate all of these things in that, yeah, when you understand all of these things, then you're going to make your life also a bit easier and you're going to give yourself a little bit more. And it depends also when your business starts to grow, when you're going to get more revenue. Of course, you can change the percentages from everything. But even if it's like a euro a month that you pay in a pension right now, that's just at least that euro, you know?
Yeah, something rather than nothing, yeah. And that's a really good technique sometimes when you price a project, you might feel guilty about the price you're saying, or you might try and undercharge. But I think if you just take 5 minutes to write down all the expenses that you're paying, like that most people wouldn't, or that company, if they tried to use an employee to do it, they'd be paying health insurance, they might be paying pension, you know, holiday pay, sick pay. You're covering all that for yourself. So you need to factor that into every quote you give out to a potential client. It's very easy to forget these things, yeah.
Yeah. If any of you are interested in getting to know a little bit more what your financial plan should be and what it should all include, I read a really interesting book for freelancers a while ago, and it was The Financial Money Plan for Freelancers and the Self-Employed. So I will list that one down below, the name of the book and the writers, because I read that in September last year. And that was the first time in my life that I had more financial clarity on my life as a freelancer. I think that's how I understood that all of that comes into play. So if you guys are interested in reading that book, I will list it down below in the show notes as well. Moving on, you wrote down create a business bank account. I think that comes back also to the financial side of it.
Yeah.
why did you create your own business account?
So I think just even though technically you are your own business, it really helps to keep the two things separate, your personal money and your business money.
Yeah.
Like you say, you have to handle your own money as a freelancer. You have to put pots aside for taxes or whatever. So keeping everything separate would just make it so much easier to handle your tax return at the end of the year and keep track of where you are, where you're making money, where you're losing money. Just simplifies the process so much. I like we were saying, really, that again with the technological stuff, so in the past the business accounts were very old-fashioned and you'd have to pay a monthly fee for them, and it's just you didn't get much value out of them, really. Whereas there's a lot of new banks coming through. I don't know if they're available internationally, but there's one in the UK that I use, which is called Coconut, and it's specifically designed for sole trader freelancers who are doing the kind of things we're talking about.
Cool.
So when you get a payment that comes in, it automatically can split it up into pots for you. So it'll tell you how much tax you're going to owe at the end of the year, and it'll categorize your expenses for you, and just makes the whole process so much easier.
Wow.
Yeah, it's great.
Coconut. I'm gonna look into this one, because that sounds really incredible. Makes your life a lot easier, especially if you don't like numbers.
Yeah, exactly. I think most of us don't like numbers, really, do we?
No.
But I mean, you can invoice from it as well. Invoice directly from it, and the money just goes straight into your account and gets split up. So it's perfect. Makes everything so much easier.
Incredible. And I think especially as freelancers, we don't want to spend so much time on the financial side, on all these other sides. Like, you just want to do your job and you just want to make your money. But yeah, these kind of things like Coconut, what you said, that makes your life a lot easier. Thank God, technology, I think, at the end of the day, of this podcast.
Yeah, I'm always seeing these technologies and softwares. They're almost like having extra members of your team. You know, it's almost like employing people. They're so complicated and they do their job so well now that it frees you up to do more of the work that actually makes you money or that you enjoy.
Yeah. All this AI stuff, it does actually feel that you do have employees working for you. That's cool. And well, we have talked about this now already a lot, and that is your last thing on your checklist is consider your equipment and subscriptions that you need. And I think we have talked a little bit about the software, what you're going to need to automate things, or your bank, all that kind of stuff. What else kind of equipment and subscriptions do you think a standard freelancer should have?
Yeah, again, it depends on what you do exactly, really. But I mean, for example, graphic designers, photographers, they're going to need some Adobe software. Most likely they'll need the Creative Cloud subscriptions or Photoshop or whatever. Writers, they might need Grammarly or something like that, which can help you spot errors that you might miss. So, I mean, it depends what exactly you do, but there's lots of, I mean, we keep talking about the technology, don't we, and the subscriptions.
Yeah.
So I'm a big advocate of saying if something's going to help you do a job quicker, then it's going to pay for itself over the long run. So, I mean, I do a lot of graphic design in my day-to-day work, and a lot of what I do in that is cutting out pictures, you know, a lot of like social media stuff you're cutting out, cutting out images and figures. But I found this app the other day, which it's a one click thing. You click on a photo and then it just cuts out the person for you. And I mean, it's probably saving me 30 seconds each time I use it, but over time it adds up and it saves me money, you know. And as a freelancer, your time is such a valuable thing, especially because you're spinning all these different plates and doing all these different jobs, and handling your finances and handling your marketing. And then you've got to do the client work as well. So any advantage that software can give you, or equipment or subscriptions, I'm tempted to go for it, but obviously you need to look at your finances and work out if it works for you.
I kind of like tend to go also for everything that I think, oh, that's can make my life easier. I'm so quick with buying things all the time. I'm like, okay, that's going to make my life easier. I'm going to need it. But what you said is, you know, these things will pay itself back in time if you become a successful freelancer, hopefully. But
there's definitely a limit. I think you can go too far that way. I mean, if you shiny object syndrome, where you try and get the new version of everything. But yeah. I mean, if you need to think about it, and if it's genuinely going to help you. I do have a rule with books and business books, like you were talking about a book earlier. I think generally, if I see a book that I think will be useful, I'll just buy it without even thinking, because the amount of value you'll get out of reading that book and learning the lessons, you know, as a freelancer, you're responsible for educating yourself and developing. So I think if you see a book that is going to offer you value and you're interested in it, then just go for it without thinking, really.
Which is, I think I completely do the same. When I see a book and I'm like, okay, this is going to bring me so much value and I'm going to get out of this knowing so much more and it's worth my time and worth my money, then I'm like, yes, I see it as like an educational investment almost. And I think that is something that most of us freelancers do have to keep in mind, that because we are doing everything by ourselves, we also in our own field, doesn't matter what type of freelancer you are, but you have to also stay on track with the latest developments and the latest trends. Doesn't matter where you are or what you do, the world keeps moving. So I think that part of this consider a subscription or something. I think, you know, follow a newsletter or sign up for a magazine or sign up for a website where you get details from in your branch or field. I think that kind of subscription also is good for in the long run to keep refreshing your information. And yeah, what do you think about that? Do you follow a lot of newsletters?
Yeah, I do. I think it's always, like you say, I think because it's up to you to keep developing, and we're talking about technology again, but the speed of things is moving so fast.
Yeah,
that if you don't keep up, you'll get left behind by the people who are keeping up with this kind of thing. So yeah, I mean, wherever I can, really. I mean, books, subscriptions, you know. I mean, podcasts. I really love listening to podcasts. They're great for freelancers, I think. I mean, like your own one. It's just because freelancing can feel a bit lonely at times as well. That's one of the other downsides of being freelancer. But even just a podcast can show you that there's other people out there who are doing well, who are struggling. You know, you can get advice.
Yeah,
it's just great community. And there's something special about a podcast. It's just, it feels like a friend talking to you, doesn't it? Or you can listen to a conversation. So yeah, I really like podcasts for that as well. And there's lots of great podcasts out there. Yeah,
me too. And there's so many great podcasts out there, and you feel like, especially what you say, like so many freelancers feel lonely and feel like they're doing this by themselves. But you know, there are so many freelancers out there, so you are not by yourself. Listen to a podcast and you'll feel less lonely. Maybe that's the thing. Yeah. But yes, your last thing, we talked a little bit about this already, like get yourself out there, do your networking, build your community and show that you are there. I think is very important to do as a freelancer. And we did talk about this already a little bit before, but I was wondering if you had any advice for a freelancer this year, for 2021 advice as a freelancer.
Yeah, 2021. I mean, it's a strange year, isn't it?
But survive. No.
Well, I mean, for some people, it is a case of that, isn't it? That you need to just do what you can to survive. I think for freelancers, fortunately, a lot of us were in a better position than people in more traditional jobs were, because a lot of us could we were already used to working on our laptops. So, I mean, not everyone, obviously. I mean, you're a freelance dancer, so I imagine that has some challenges to working like that. But
yeah.
But even there, I mean, there's opportunities. I mean, what you're doing with the podcast, and I mean, you can teach online and all kinds of things. So I think, but my main piece of advice, I think, would be to kind of take the time to step back from your business as much as you can, and do this, like make a routine of where you would step back from your business and actually make sure that you're taking steps to work on your business rather than just getting lost in it, because it's very easy to get stuck in the day-to-day of things when you're doing client work. So I often use the metaphor of a compass when it comes to freelancing, because freelancers need to have a vision of where they want to go to. They need to have some kind of value driving them. I mean, whether it's the love of what you do or helping people or just being creative. So you need to have a vision that you're heading towards, and you need to regularly check to make sure you're not drifting too far away from that vision. So, I mean, think of an airplane. They're heading to an airport, which could be hundreds of miles away. So the pilot's constantly checking the compass to make sure it's still on track. Because even if you drift a couple of degrees off from that, over the course of a plane journey, 500 miles, that can lead to you being in a different country, you know, when you arrive, if you don't check. So it's all about checking for these little drifts away from where you want to be going and correcting them. And the best way to do that is to set up a weekly block of time where you look at your business and make sure that you're still heading in the right direction. If maybe you've let your marketing slip, you can address it, you know, you can make a little correction. And so that's probably one of the main themes that I'm trying to tell a lot of people this year. And also something quite practical and specific that I found recently is don't be afraid to use tools like Google has a Google My Business tool. And I'd sort of ignored it for a few years, but I went back to it a few months ago and I updated it and put my new details in there. And I've actually found I'm getting quite a lot of inquiries through that from local people. So there's obviously, I mean, look for opportunities where there are opportunities, because that puts you on Google Maps and things. And even though we're talking that you can work remotely from wherever you are in the world, still a lot of people like to work with local people. So putting yourself on that Google, that's free and it puts you on Google Maps, and it can be a great opportunity.
You are from the UK, but you are now in Cyprus based. So have you changed your Google My Business to Cyprus, or you left it in the UK?
So it's still in the UK for now. Yeah, because that's where my business is registered.
It has to connect with where you are, where your business is registered, right?
Yeah, and they send you a little postcard and you have to put in the code. Yeah. But I mean, I couldn't see anyone in person at the moment anyway, because we're locked down. But
anyway,
it doesn't make a huge amount of difference.
No, exactly. Yeah. Where is the freelance success, your freelance success, where is it headed? What do you want to do with it later? Or what is your vision for it?
Yes. So, I mean, we just want to keep it growing really now, because, I mean, it's had a really great response to this checklist, and there's clearly a lot of freelancers are hungry for this kind of information, because like you say, it can be hard to gather the information. I mean, it's all out there, but having it in one place is really helpful. So we want to help people set up a business that is sustainable in the long term, that has the kind of business fundamentals, some of which we've talked about today, like the strategy and the finances. So we want to help you sort that out, really. So one of the main things I'm working on at the moment is I'm putting a course together, which will be, it's called Freelance Bootcamp, and that will be a 30-day course online where we just go through everything from getting started, going into more details of some of the things on the checklist. Then we get into the practical things of being freelance. We cover sales and marketing, that kind of thing. But also there's a big section on your mindset, because I think that's a really important part of being a freelancer. We talked about staying confident and staying true to what you want to do and making the most of being freelance, because, I mean, it's great being freelance. You can take control of your life. You can live your own dream. You can do work that means a lot to you. So I think as more people who can do it successfully, the better. So that's what we're trying to do, really, just help more people do that.
I think that's incredible. And if anybody is interested, again, you'll find their website down below, and you have a blog as well where you offer a lot of great insights and tools. And I'm really curious to see, I will keep following you, and I'm really curious to see where you're going to take your freelance success. I mean, now your freelance, the freelance success, where you're going to take it to. And I think this checklist was really incredible to just go over these basics once in a podcast together with you, so that people can listen. Okay, yes. Oh, if I want to start over again, or if I think back, or if I want to start now, then follow these these checkpoints actually, and you actually create it into when you download the PDF file on your site, it's actually a checklist, like you actually can check it off. So yes, this was the 11 checklist from Alistair Webster of Going Freelance. Thank you so much for being on the podcast. I am enriched with a lot of new information. So thank you for all of this. And yeah, well, thank you. And thank you for making the time.
No, thanks for having me. Really good to talk to you and keep the podcast going, because like I say, I love listening to podcasts like yours, and it's great for the freelancers. So keep doing what you're doing.
Exactly. And I think that's also the whole reason why I created this podcast, is to do a little bit what you're doing, but then in an audio form, kind of in a certain way. Thank you, everybody, for listening to this episode. Of course, you'll find all the links down below in the show notes. Don't forget to leave a rating of the podcast on Apple Podcasts or any other platform where you can rate the podcast. I would also love to hear what you guys are thinking. So make sure you also leave a review or just send me your feedback through Instagram, Facebook, or wherever. It's everywhere called The Freelancer Talk, but you guys know that by now, I think. Thank you guys so much, and I'll talk to you guys next week. Ciao, ciao.